Okay, tell me something about yourself.
My name's Max Newman. I grew up in Tampa, Florida, to Jewish parents. I went to Country Day Montessori, pre-K to eighth grade, and then Clearwater Central Catholic High School, and then I attended NYU, where I got a degree in math.
Yeah, that sounds fun. So, I want to know a little bit more about your experience in Catholic school. Can you tell me like how it works, what you guys learn there, or how do you like the daily routine stuff?
So, I mean, I went to a sort of preparatory high school, so I took part in the what's called the International Baccalaureate program. So, I mean, my freshman year, I was able to take what was it? Like geometry, standard English, world history, Spanish. So I did Spanish all 4 years and math all 4 years.
So it's like a normal high school stuff, curriculum, right?
Well, we also had other opportunities. I mean, so we had religion classes that were required every semester.
Yeah.
So we had one religion class. So, you know, freshman year we read mostly stuff about the Old Testament. Sophomore year we learned about sort of the life of Jesus Christ and sort of more theological aspects of Catholicism. Junior year we learned more of that sort of stuff in senior year as well. So you know, you learn about, you know, what does the body of Christ mean? What's marriage in the Catholic Church? What are deadly sins? What are venial sins? What does it mean? Like, how do you commune with God? That sort of stuff. You know, and you know, you go to Mass every month at least.
Every month.
At least a month in high holidays and like big celebrations. So, you know, at graduation the night before we had a Mass. We went to a nice big church. It was a really nice thing.
So what I'm hearing is that you're telling me that you're learning a lot about religious stuff, but I want to know more about your experience. How does that make you feel like learning about those things? Does that give you a spiritual guide or like help you in any way in your real life? Or are you just learning it as another subject?
I suppose I wasn't as receptive to it as I would come to be. So more, I was kind of hostile to the religion classes, like freshman and sophomore year. I didn't really buy into either their importance, or like I found them very uninteresting, and I felt like I didn't need it. You know, I'm not Catholic, but I came to sort of embrace them more. I liked my teacher. This is professor teaching Mr. Shannon and Miss Kling, where they sort of got to me more. They didn't make me religious or spiritual or anything like that, but I don't know. I gained a greater appreciation of sort of what they were doing and of Catholic belief in general. And so I suppose what I got out of that is not only understanding of, you know, the religious teaching and doctrine, but sort of an appreciation not only of why they believe what they believe, but an appreciation for what they're trying to do with that. So, I mean, I think Catholicism sort of gets like a much worse rap than it like deserves in many ways. So like there's certain aspects of you know, Catholicism that I don't agree with or I might find wrong. But I mean, I don't know. I think we tend to approach sort of Catholicism even as sort of monolithic in a way that's not really, because I mean, the interesting thing about Catholicism is that even if you disagree with the church's teaching, I mean, it's a doctrine of the church that you can, you know, talk over what you disagree with the priest, read, you know, read the holy texts, read the theology, and if you still disagree, you can sort of, you know, go with God. And they might say you're wrong, they might disagree with you, but you can still be a Catholic in good faith and believe things which the church doesn't, unless it's a very particular sort of belief that the church has. And there are certain unquestionable ones, but
Okay, gotcha. So you would say that like your general experience at the Catholic school, even though you don't really, you're not really that religious, so it's not a bad experience.
No, it wasn't a bad experience at all. Mm-hmm. I think the people I met at Catholic school are some of the nicest people I've met in my entire life.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a group of people who are more accepting and more caring than there. I mean, they're some of the best people I've ever met, more or less.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I never felt unwelcome at all, so.
Okay. And also, I want to ask, so back at school, do you have a lot of friends who are religious and knowing you or not? Is that a situation, or are you guys just...
I mean, it's a mixed crowd, so not everyone that goes to Catholic school is you know, really religious. I mean, there are plenty of... There's a good amount of, like, Protestant people. There's a good amount of non-Catholic people. I mean, we had, like, one Muslim student. I was the only Jewish student.
Okay.
But, I mean, people knew that I was Jewish. I never got any flack for it. Both my sisters went there. My oldest sister did have issues with that. She was... that wasn't my experience, I suppose, but... She got abused from it from some of the older boys, mm-hmm. but it was also because like she was on the weightlifting team there.
Okay.
And she was the only girl.
Okay.
And so the older boys called her some very offensive things.
That sounds like a horrible experience.
I imagine it was. I mean, but you know, I wasn't there. I didn't experience it, so you know, only she could really tell you. But I understood that she didn't receive it well, but. You know, with that said, you know, there were people at the school who sort of took care of it. There's a man named Mr. Toro. He was the coach of the weightlifting team, and he was the head custodian. And he sort of, he gave a very stern talking to the the boys that harassed my sister. Then they never talked to her ever again. So, I mean, so they took things like that very seriously there. And the people there were exceptionally kind in general. So
yeah, that's wonderful. So why do you think that people send their kids to Catholic school even though they're not, like, religious?
Well, I mean, my mom sent me and our family to Clearwater Central Catholic because it's where she went to high school. She grew up Catholic, and then she converted to Judaism.
Okay.
And so she went there for high school. Her two brothers went there to high school. So it was just sort of a natural continuation of that. But for other students, I mean, for my school in particular, more or less, there's a bunch of public schools in the area,
mm-hmm.
and most of them are very bad.
I see.
Barring, you know, maybe one,
mm-hmm.
quite a way from where my school is actually located.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best private schools in the area cost something like $30,000, $35,000 a year.
So it's a lot of money for...
Yeah,
like an ordinary family.
Exactly. It's a lot of money. Well, CCC is a third the cost, and it's probably midway in quality between the public schools and the best private schools in the area.
Okay, I see. So your dad does not have a problem with you going to Catholic schools?
No. I mean, I don't think my dad ever really thought about it that much. I mean, I don't know what there would be to have problem. I mean, like... We weren't required to do anything. Like, we weren't required to have a baptism or anything like that. I mean, you learn about religious practice, and then you go to the normal, you know...
The curriculum.
Yeah, the normal sort of curriculum that you'd have in a lot of other high schools.
So, it's basically learning about religion, that's the big part. Not particularly practicing them.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other students... So, we're given time to practice... So for truth, so like during religion class, sometimes we'd go to the chapel at school, and we'd be given time to reflect, or we'd be given time to read scripture, or we'd be given time to pray. So you'd have that, and you'd have mass at least every month, where you'd go, and the Catholics, you know, they'd receive their communion. But I mean, you weren't forced to receive communion or to pray or anything like that.
Yeah, that's good. And can you tell me a story that you had with your teacher that you find really inspirational or, you know, very memorable in general?
Oh, memorable. I don't know about inspirational, but maybe memorable.
Uh-huh.
Because I wasn't Catholic, I was, from the very first Mass I had to attend, I was very unfamiliar with the way in which I was supposed to go about things.
Yeah.
So, if you're not Catholic, or if you're a Catholic and you're not in a spiritual place to be able to receive communion, because, you know, that's sort of the highest part of Catholicism, is receiving the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to be able to receive it and you're at Mass, you're supposed to walk up to the person or priest who's giving the communion wafers out, and you're supposed to cross your arms, right arm on your left shoulder, left arm on your right shoulder, and you're supposed to maybe bow your head a bit.
Okay.
I didn't know that, so what I did is I flashed a peace sign to the priest.
Yeah.
And one of the teachers saw, and so in my first week of school, I got a demerit and a 3-hour detention.
Oh my god!
That was a memorable part of high school. I don't remember that teacher. I think she was a sophomore religion teacher. That was my freshman year.
Okay.
So that was memorable, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. do you think that your experience in that school has any kind of influence in your later life?
Yeah. I mean, it certainly influenced the way in which I think about things and approach certain issues. Because I think a lot of people, especially at like a very left-leaning school like NYU, have very negative views of religion, and especially something like Catholicism. There's definitely a sort of, like, not only, like, a sort of naive moral relativism, but there's sort of, like I said, you know, they treat Catholicism and Catholic people as sort of being monolithic. So, I mean, the Catholic Church stands for, you know, a lot of things that many, especially young people, don't agree with, and things even I don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But I find their views much more respectable than they do. I think the motivations for what they believe are much more reasonable than people give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I disagree, like for example, the Catholic Church has a very sharp stance on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you know, abortion is wrong, abortion is wrong, abortion is wrong.
Yeah.
And I disagree.
Yeah.
But I disagree not because I think, you know, they just want to control women's bodies, or because they want to do such and such a thing. I think they genuinely see themselves as doing a good thing and protecting life and trying to save what they think is a living being.
Yeah.
I just think they're wrong about that it's a living being. But I think their motivation for it and the fight they're willing to put in for something they believe so strongly, I think, is...
It's legitimate, right?
It's respectable.
Yeah, okay, I see.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's sort of how I'm much more sympathetic. And not only that, we learned a lot about sort of influence of Catholicism, say, in, like, Latin America during the last century, especially during, like, the 1970s, 1980s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic movements were some of the most progressive... social movements in all of Latin America during the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you can look at, like, it's called, like, liberation theology. So it takes there's a notion in Catholicism called the preferential option for the poor, which means that if you are able to, you should, in all situations, act in such a way that the poor get the best treatment possible, sort of. That's vaguely what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have great, you know, spiritual leaders like Oscar Romero, who defended his native people, and who defended the native people against the U.S.-backed militia groups which were taking over the country. You know, for that he lost his life. He was a martyr.
Okay.
And so you can see these. Oscar Romero is not the only one, but other liberation theologians and other members of, say, Opus Dei. Although there's a lot of strange things go on with people who call themselves Opus Dei.
Mm-hmm.
is that they did a lot of good in Latin America, or at least they could have done a lot of good. Of course, the big issue is that there were most of the liberation theologians were murdered at a summit by U.S.-backed militias, I think in 1988. So that sort of ended the liberation theology movement in Latin America.
Yeah.
Which is really sad, but yeah. So more or less what I'm trying to say is that I have a greater appreciation for what Catholicism is capable of. It has, I think what Chomsky called a great emancipatory potential.
Mm-hmm.
It's a potential unlike pretty much anything else to liberate people from their social situations.
Okay. I want to ask you, what do you think is the most positive changes religion has brought to the community in general? This has been around for a really long time. How's that, like, change people's life? Or how do you think if we don't have religion, what's that gonna be like?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, without religion, I mean, I'm kind of without religion. But I mean, I'd hope we'd be fine. I just think religion, I mean, maybe for better or for worse, is the greatest sort of catalyst for social change possible. I mean, there's no
mm-hmm.
greater motivation for doing something than religious motivation, I think.
Okay.
That's
a very interesting opinion.
Yeah. I mean, so there's that. I mean, I suppose without religion, I imagine we'll be fine, I guess.
Okay.
I'm not so sure. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a good sense. I mean, because secular people are very diverse. It depends on what sort of secularism we get.
Mm-hmm.
If we get sort of, I don't know, like Randian hyper-capitalism, I don't know if I'm a big fan, but, you know, we'll see, I guess.
So, basically, you think people just take whatever they need from religion in order to help themselves from their perspective?
That's one thing that can happen. I mean, so I think, again, one thing that gets tossed around about, say, Catholicism and religion in general is that it's sort of a dismissiveness of, based in thinking that Catholics believe things, like, literally.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, people think that people, or that Catholics read, say, the story in Genesis and think that a snake was really talking to Adam and Eve, who are supposedly literal people,
mm-hmm.
even though that's, like, a minority of religious people. I mean, Jews don't think like that. Catholics don't believe like that. Most Protestants don't believe like that. It's really only very few people that read the Bible or some other religious text literally.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, you can read into religious texts a lot of different things. I mean, so people can look at a story and find something valuable in it that someone else might not find. So people can sort of, if they want, they can pick and choose. Whether that's good practice, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think Catholics in general do a good job of trying to deconstruct, well, it's not the right word, trying to figure out what to take literally, what not to take literally,
mm-hmm.
and what to sort of take from different parts of the Bible. I mean, and that's a very serious intellectual undertaking, and something that they do, they take very, very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's the sort of literalism that people attribute to them is inaccurate and unfair.
Yeah.
And that lack of literalism allows people to sort of get what they want from it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I think, for the better.
Okay, awesome. You mentioned how you got your math degree from NYU.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell me your opinion on the contradiction of religion and science?
Oh, I don't think there is a contradiction between religion and science.
How so?
I mean, some of the greatest scientists we've ever known were incredibly religious people. The person who
was first one to propose the Big Bang Theory, mm-hmm. who has what's the main theory in modern cosmology is partially named after him. It's named after him and Hubble.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Hubble didn't come up with the idea until something like 7 years after. It was a Catholic priest named Georges Lemaître.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Belgian priest, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so so modern cosmology more or less owes itself to him. Hubble did the observations which confirmed Lemaître's theoretical perspective. And of course, there's also, you know, Isaac Newton, you know, a number of other scientists that were very religious. So I think more or less, at least, there's actually, I think, a historical approach to this, which I don't know in any great detail, but I've more or less been told by someone I would consider a reliable source, you know, it's a professor at NYU, that sort of juxtaposition that we tend to think of between religion and science is really due to a bunch of 19th century men who sort of tried to construct a contradiction between them, who they were non-religious and they were scientists or people who were big fans of science for some reason.
Yeah.
And they tried to juxtapose the two and say that they were incompatible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they are incompatible. I mean, Catholicism especially more or less doesn't interact. I mean, Catholicism is a big, has a huge, I think, observatory.
Mm-hmm.
They're big on astronomy and other sorts of things. Maybe their motivations for it are different than most scientists.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see any contradiction there. I mean, when I was in Catholic school, we learned, you know, biology, we learned evolution, we learned physics, we learned chemistry. I don't think there's any religious perspective that was ever brought to any of those subjects. I mean, and if you look at actually the scientific field, I mean, there's a number of scientists who are religious. So I think, I don't know, like the whole contradiction between science and religion is, at least in my mind, I always tend to think of it as being like a very like new atheist sort of mm-hmm. annoying, like circle jerky sort of thing. Yeah, I think, and it's always, it doesn't help anyone to think there's a contradiction.
Yeah, it doesn't. That's a really good point. And also, what do you think is the most powerful thing about religion? How religion can change people's life?
Most powerful thing about religion?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I suppose there's the emancipatory potential I talked about earlier, you know, the potential to motivate people to do good for others, the potential to motivate people to do good for themselves, stand up for themselves.
Mm-hmm. But what kind of motivation do you think that is? Is it like an outsider motivation or is from inside? Like?
So, I mean, that's a very difficult question. So, I mean, I think people like Oscar Romero and, you know, other sort of liberation theologians, I don't think, people are very cynical,
mm-hmm.
I think, and they say that, you know, oh, religious people are only motivated by going to heaven, they want eternal reward, they're terrified of damnation, something
like
that.
But that's not necessarily the case?
I don't think that is the case for
most people.
I don't know about, maybe it is the case for most people, but I think in the case of people like Oscar Romero, I don't know, Joan of Arc, and people who martyr themselves for their cause, I mean, I would be hard-pressed. It'd be very difficult for me to believe that they did it just because they were afraid of, I don't know, damnation and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They really put themselves out there. Like, I think it's too cynical, even for me.
Okay.
To believe something like that.
Okay, that's really good. So, have you ever feel how religion had progressed with the development of the society, the culture of the society.
What do you mean?
How religion has been developing. Mm. It's not stayed the same
not
thing.
Stay the same. Mm-hmm.
How's that gonna intertwine with the current culture?
I mean, that's a really interesting question. I mean, that's a really hard question, too. Like, I think, for example, that the Catholic Church, for all of its opposition to gay marriage now and so on, I get a feeling that in not too distant a time, that won't be an issue. I might be mistaken. Like, I don't know. Because I know many of the Catholic people I know
mm-hmm.
are sort of calling out for that, calling out for gay marriage in the Catholic Church, or calling for women priests,
yeah.
And things like that. It would not surprise me if before too long some things like that happened. I mean, I think it's pretty natural that something like Catholicism, which is very structured, hierarchical, and sort of, I suppose you could say, well-considered, it doesn't surprise me at all that they would take longer to get to those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's with bad reason. I mean, I think if you're going to make something church law, it has to be forever.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's true.
It's harsh. I mean, I went to a Catholic high school and I was gay. And I never felt unwelcome. So, I mean, and people didn't speak poorly about gay people in high school. In my high school.
Yeah, that's really good to hear.
I mean, there are people who are out in my high school.
Mm-hmm.
There was a trans person in my high school. No one.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I think we were all treated well and with respect.
That sounds like a really good experience. So, what do you think that, like, the religion can change people's opinion about how, you know, to be nice to other people, but they also have certain issues with gay people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because, why do you think it's that? It's just because it's against their belief?
I don't know if it, like, because this is the thing, is that, like, the Catholic theology that, at least that we read in my high school, doesn't really talk about gay people,
mm-hmm.
like, at all.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't say anything. It doesn't even say marriage is between, like, a man and a woman. That's not even the theological basis, at least that was explained to us, for marriage in Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
The example for us is set by Christ marrying the church.
Okay.
And that's sort of the Christ marrying the church, that's sort of what marriage is supposed to be like.
Yeah, I see.
And I never read anything that made it clear why that couldn't be a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. I think more or less why there is opposition to it is just because the Catholic Church is a sort of conservative force in many ways. I mean, cause it's old, and
if religion is not particularly that part of against LGBTQ, what do you think is the biggest obstacles for gay people? Is just because the religion or people's conservative perspective on things that are different?
I mean, I think the two feed into each other. So, I mean, people's conservative beliefs inform their religious ones. I think I think probably even more than religious beliefs feed into people's conservative ones. So I think like in the example of the Catholic Church, like I think it was practice of the church to discriminate against gay people in the past. But even that's kind of inaccurate, I think. I mean, the history of this is complicated, and I'm not an expert. So I mean, that's such a hard question.
There are also, like, places in this world
mm-hmm.
where people don't really believe in God,
mm-hmm.
but still they have issues
yeah.
with gay people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so, I mean, like, Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of places that are like that, and I mean, some of the most accepting people I know, in terms of, with respect to gay people, trans people, and so on, are either Catholics or other types of Christians. I don't think there's anything in Catholicism or Christianity which necessitates that they have to be against LGBTQ issues. They might be against, say, a number of things which are common in gay community. So, like, in the gay community, there's a huge hookup culture. And things like that, you
which
know.
Which they're opposed to.
Yeah, but they're opposed across, I mean, really, the main issue the Catholic Church has with gay sex is, like, gay sex is on par with premarital sex in terms of the degree of severity. Like, it's not a particularly bad sort of perversion, if you'd like.
Okay.
At least as it was explained to me by my teachers at Catholic school. Like, it's more or less that you're not supposed to have sex outside of marriage at all. So if you're gay, you can't marry. So having sex when you're unmarried is sort of the issue.
Okay, I see the logic there. Also, I want to ask about your opinion, how the younger generation are less willing to practice religion, even though they came from a very religious family. So the general trend is that there are less people who are religious. Do you think that what kind of like influence would that have on the religious community?
Well, I'm not actually sure that is true in general. Like, at least from what I know is that at least globally, religious belief and Catholic and Muslim belief in particular are like on the up.
Really?
Yeah. Globally, but I think in our more modern, sort of like first world, I guess you'd say, countries like the United States, like in Europe, that you have religious beliefs on the downturn. And I don't really know what to make of that change. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a very complicated thing. I don't really see that much probably changing just because, like, the beliefs that we have are so heavily informed by Catholicism and Christianity and other sorts of things. So I don't see a great change happening just because we're not going to churches anymore.
So you're saying that it has been around for centuries and it's unlikely it's going to vanish overnight?
Well, it certainly won't vanish overnight. I mean, I think there's always going to be religious people. I mean, even now, I mean, I think like agnostic people or something like they're still in the minority of people. I think maybe it's like 20%, something like that. But I mean, people who call themselves atheists or whatever are much lower than that, something like 2%.
Okay.
I think people are just turned off by organized religion. I mean, even the people who call themselves agnostic or whatever and that sort of thing, even they tend to have what we might call spiritual backgrounds or whatever. You know, there's a huge horoscope culture in like in the gay community, for example, and among a lot of women too, which is sort of at least I interpret as people being unable to handle the sort of uncertainty that a lack of religion brings. But I mean, it's people replacing one thing with another. I don't know. That's how I tend to think of it anyway.
So you're saying that religion is providing people with faith, with motivation, with a purpose in their life. So that's something that is hard to replace, or someone people kind of stick to.
Yeah.
They're not going to just throw that away with the development of the society.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly what religion can offer. I mean, that's more or less like what the, like, at least what I tend to think of, what the existential movement of like the 40s, 50s tried to provide. They didn't try to provide meaning or anything like that. I mean, they tried to understand what meaning was. But, I mean, it's just because sort of religion had lost its place and people weren't being religious anymore. And so people ask, you know, what's the purpose of doing anything, that sort of thing. And so people are always going to want something like that. So I imagine something like religion will always remain, or else we're going to have everyone embracing, I don't know, the fragility of existence or something.
What do you think is the biggest difference of being in a Catholic school and being a very diverse and inclusive university like NYU?
I don't
know.
I mean, I think maybe perplexingly, the Catholic schools was more accepting than NYU. I think NYU
really
is a very divisive environment. People sort of stick to their own, you know, Chinese kids hang out with Chinese kids, black kids hang out with black kids, Hispanic kids hang out with Hispanic kids,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. I mean, people don't really interact with each other in the way you'd probably expect. I mean, I was sort of lucky in that I had a more diverse sort of friend group, but we were all sort of bonded together by our common study. I mean, we were all math majors, more or less, apart from the few people I met freshman year. So, I mean, that's sort of the main thing. I was actually kind of surprised by, like, how little intercultural crossover there is in general, despite how diverse the school is. It's very factional.
Okay. I hope that was just the case when you were at NYU, because you left the school for a few years. I hope things changed. Okay.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. Awesome. So if you have another chance, if you have a choice, would you go to Catholic school again?
Yeah, I definitely go to Catholic school again. I mean, my best friends that I still talk to, I met at Catholic school. Some of the best teachers. I had one of the best high school experiences I think I could have had. You know, I was a shy, nerdy, not very cool kid who, you know, was able to hang out with a lot of people and have a good time, you know, be prom king and like all those other sorts of things. Like
that's awesome.
I don't think I could have gotten that pretty much anywhere else.
Yeah. So why do you think that in Catholic schools people were inclusive comparing to NYU, where there's much more diversity?
Well, one thing is that it was this relatively small school. So, you know, there's only 108 kids in my graduating class,
mm-hmm.
something like that. So, I mean, everyone knew everyone.
But there was a more intimate interaction. Okay.
Yeah, pretty everyone knew each other. And, I mean, I suppose also it wasn't as diverse. So, I mean, there are fewer people to sort of, like, so, like, people couldn't, like, so, like, I couldn't just hang out with Jewish kids at my Catholic school, because, like, I was the only one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we were sort of forced, like, together in many ways. I mean, like, that's sort of how it went. Like, yeah,
okay.
I think that's one reason why, anyway, why it was sort of more inclusive. And also just because I think the school made an effort to make it inclusive.
Yeah.
Because, like, the school is aware that not everyone's Catholic, not everyone's white, not everyone's blah, 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 blah. And so they made an effort to get kids to go together, get kids to hang out together, all that sort of thing.
What exactly did the school do?
I mean, the school had, you know, a lot of opportunities for the classes to hang out together. You know, freshman year, everyone had PE or their elective classes or whatever. They were sort of mixed classes, you know. There wasn't an honors, you know. There wasn't an honors speech and debate. There was just speech and debate, you know. Sort of segregation class-wise didn't really happen until junior and senior year. And by then you had freshman and sophomore year to make friends with a much more diverse group of the students.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, you know, there were a lot of student outings, a lot of student events. Where you meet a lot of different sorts of people there. Cause, I mean, everyone loves to go to the football games, or everyone loves to go to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so it's more like people share something common beyond just religion, right? So school is providing with a lot of different opportunities.
Yeah, a lot of shared experiences.
For people to, like, yeah, to create those shared experiences with each other in turn, but on the other hand, universities, well, like, there are so many students here, it is harder for them to create this kind of experience. And also there are much more diversity, which means people can form little subgroups, so it's easier for them to stay in their comfort zone, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, at a big university like NYU, where there's something like 60,000 students, it's really hard to organize events so that people can, you know, sort of interact with each other. And
thank you so much for sharing your experience with me. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I think that more or less covers it.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Yes.